announcement, it says that continue. So even if you're talking to GBV issues and it's like, I don't know what must be said anymore, because we are talking about them every day, but still you'll hear a child is raped, a woman is raped, a woman is killed. So it's something not right. Something is not right. And government is trying so hard, to deal with these issues at left, and something was right. I'm just talking with you, DM, sometimes I don't even know what to say to people when they talk about these issues. Even our other honorable members who were like, something was right. We are running away from Corona now. This high rate, the increase of gender-based violence and femicide. So, something is not right. But I'm hoping now, because the NSP has been launched, and I think probably we are done with advertising for people who need to serve in the council whatsoever. I'm not sure what is the decision of the interministerial committee in relation to what criteria are going to use, and how are you going to identify even the NGOs that will participate in that sense. That will be part of the council. But I think we need to move with speed because the events, the incidents that are happening every day, it leaves one wanting and not knowing what exactly is happening in the country. And sometimes when you are told by people that a victim went to the police station and a person wanted to open a case and he was sent away and so on, that's even the police need to be counseled on things. Because I'm sure they are themselves frustrated wherever they are. So something needs to be done for everyone. Because you can imagine when you go to a police station, you are raped, and you want to open a case in one incident with Alicia, and the young woman was told, no, go back, you'll come tomorrow. You can imagine they went to the police station around 8. To report the incident, and they were turned away around 8, and the young man was told to come back tomorrow. You must not ask, you must not do it. You're right, and the person is telling you come back tomorrow, but how do you see? And then you must come back tomorrow. And when you go for those things, you no, the police warrant officer is normal, because a normal person cannot do that. So it tells us that even police, I think, need to be counted one way or the other. They need to be checked also. Maybe they've been working with worse conditions, and even in their emotionally also they are blamed or that something needs to be done.
we were cognizant of alignment to the relevant policy frameworks, particularly the MTSF. We had also looked at alignment with the Minister's Performance Agreement, the need for an integrated approach to the Department of Women, Youth, Persons with Disability, and this has also been consistently raised by the Portfolio Committee, and we continue to address this. We also obviously looked at planned organisational, we took into account that the planned organisational redesign processes later in this year. But also, when we do planning, we should always look at the MTF period as required by the APP and the budget format. So the need for a multi-year approach with sequencing across the MTF period from 2020-21, the current financial year, to 2023-2024. And it was agreed that any major shifts should be deferred to the following year. We've also addressed, we are seeking to address and have addressed comments from the Portfolio Committee and other oversight bodies, and also the expectations of our stakeholders. The Honourable Chair spoke about the issues of GBV, which are confronting us every day in the most brutal manner. So that is an example of where our APP must be taking into account government's implementation of the NSP, and we will come back to that. In terms of the implications of the pandemic on the mandate of the department, the overall mandate remains unchanged. However, in terms of the pandemic, we have had to also take the following into account. It has placed additional demands on the department, particularly in relation to forming an integral component of the development of government's overall response and interventions to mitigate the negative impacts of COVID-19 on women, youth, and persons with disabilities. So that we know, for example, when we come to the issue of the work streams and the NAC joints, they meet, they've been meeting daily. It's changed slightly now, but in the period April, May, you know, June, it was a very, very hectic process, including working on public holidays and weekends, which the department has been part of. But obviously the pandemic has also prevented or constrained certain activities which the department had planned, for example, mass mobilization, international travel, and so on. But at the same time, whilst the COVID-19 pandemic has entailed considerable constraints and suffering, it has also opened up new vantage points and opportunities for innovative approaches to advance women's empowerment, youth development, and disability rights. I'm going to list some of the key areas of work relating to COVID-19. Firstly, at the level of planning and decision-making, we have spoken on various occasions about our participation in the work streams, the NAC joints structures, which undertake technical work to advise the National Coronavirus Command Council, which is chaired by the President. Our main areas of participation have been the following. Firstly, participation in the main NAT Joint's decision-making structure of DG. So that meets every week to prepare for the NCCC, ahead of the NCCC, and to implement decisions to ensure that decisions taken by the NCCC are indeed implemented. We've served as co-chair of the Social Impact Mitigation Workstream, but also we've had members participating there, including the Disability Rights Unit, and that's where we've also been raising many issues around the social relief, the GBV issues, and so on. Also very important is the Economic Impact Mitigation Workstream, where we've had our managers participating as members to, again, ensure that the issues of women, youth, and persons with disability are mainstreamed within the various measures, whether it be UIF or support for small business, etc. Also, public health work stream. We have been there and we participate as required, as well as in the legal and regulatory work stream. We participate as required. Now, all of these work streams report into the NAT joints meetings. So even if we are not participating in every single work stream, because there are many, many work streams, and there's also the communication work stream where our communicators have been very much active to ensure that the messaging and the content is also sensitive to persons with disabilities, to the communicating in relation to GBV support services and so on. On slide six, we've also made a number of interventions in relation to the area of policy research and regulations. Chair, I won't go into the specifics of exactly the details of each work stream, but that is available. But I think that there is, you know, the various media briefings that have been held over time by the president and by the ministers have been very explicit around what the decisions and the outcomes have been in relation to government's response, whether it be the increasing the social grants, whether it be the special COVID-19 relief package, the food parcels, and all of those. On to slide six. In terms of policy research and regulations, we have prepared a comprehensive report on the impact of COVID-19 on women, looking at the social, economic, health, participation and representation, communication, etc. Now, and that we had done, and this has been put forward in the system, but we've also developed a gender tracking system, which basically is linked to the overall framework on the impact, which then says, let's track the actual data around many of these. Now, this hasn't yet been fully implemented because we have been working with the various work streams to track this. It also includes issues of young women and women with disabilities. In the early stages of the lockdown, we also conducted a snap survey on the early impact of the pandemic and the lockdown on women. We had about 80 responses. This gave us insight also that then served to inform our proposals to the different work streams and also raised many of the issues that we have been constantly raising, for example, which resulted in GBV being services being declared essential services, the same with care workers in response to persons with disabilities. We also initiated more in-depth research on the impact of COVID-19 on women, and that is underway. Ms. Reddy will be able to speak to that. The Disability Rights Unit developed directions on persons with disability in terms of the Disaster Management Act. But we've also contributed to regulations and major interventions to mitigate the negative social economic impacts, including, as I said, the COVID-19 special grant, increases in other grants, access to UIF for domestic workers, inclusion of women in economic relief measures, and so on. One of the issues that has been discussed, and this has also been addressed in public by the president, is the issue of the relationship between alcohol consumption and GBVF in the context of the COVID-19. So we have done preliminary work on that, which has also informed some of the responses, and we know that the president has also addressed this matter. In addition to those intervention areas, we've also had some direct delivery interventions, for example, outreach to identified institutions as part of social relief of distress. We've had distribution of menstrual and hygiene products to women and girls in indigent household shelters, informal settlements, quarantine spots, and to persons with disabilities. The Deputy Minister has been directly involved with some of those. Some of the other interventions, and again, these are just highlights, it's not everything. There's been a lot of work in the context of the NAT joints on gender-based violence and femicide. As I said, the inclusion of GBV as an essential service in the lockdown regulation, so that those who are providing support services and response to GBVF were given access and were allowed to be seen as essential service workers. There was also the referral pathways and the safety plan. There were webinars, consultation with civil society organizations on the process towards the establishment of the National Council on GBVF. So Honorable Chair pointed to the critical importance of moving with speed on the establishment of the National Council on GBVF. And we know that the civil society is responsible for 51% of the members of the National Council. Now, it was discussed, and the IMC also agreed that we cannot impose on civil society what the process should be for them to participate in the council. Therefore, a consultation was held with civil society organizations on the criteria, the processes, and so on, and the program DDG Steve will speak further to that. But that was a very important process, which is still underway. Communications and stakeholder consultation, in addition to those that I've mentioned, the Disability Rights Unit also ensured and facilitated the inclusion of sign language interpreters in all the COVID-related media briefings by the ministers and others. There have been a variety of webinars led by the minister and the deputy minister with stakeholders, including women, youth, and persons with disabilities. And we've also had active participation in government communication responses, including communication on gender-based violence, femicide, and COVID-19. In terms of international relations, this has obviously been severely curtailed, but we have continued to participate in African Union webinars, including on women, youth, and youth in the context of COVID-19, where different countries have shared their responses. Honourable Chair, I'm now moving to the issue of how has the revised budget impacted on programs, and as the Deputy Minister indicated, that the revised budget has resulted in a reduction in the overall goods and services budget by 27.2 million, which is a third, just under a third of our goods and services budget. Reductions have been identified in all programs except for Program 1, and we'll come back to Program 1, but obviously, Program 1 is very critical in terms of the ICT and tools of the trade. Some of the reprioritization has been affected in terms of activities directly affected by the pandemic, including venues, facilities, catering, domestic and international travel, subsistence and accommodation. So that budget has been reprioritized. There's also been a reduction in the use of external service providers, who had been identified to provide technical expertise. But as I was saying also, there have been increases in budget allocations or in provision for tools of the trade to enable officials to work from home, to strengthen ICT systems, and also to ensure that we have facilities such as video conferencing. Traditional forms of meetings, stakeholder consultations, even things like interviews for vacancies have shifted to virtual platforms. Stakeholder consultations are very, very critical in our department, as in many departments, but these have had to shift to virtual platforms. And I think we have been cognizant of the bias that this introduces, as Deputy Minister was saying in her opening remarks, that this shift to virtual platforms would tend to introduce a bias that obviously only stakeholders who have access to data and laptops and so on are now inadvertently favored. So issues such as how do we ensure that we continue to reach women and youth and persons with disabilities, communities in rural areas, remains very, very critical. And the Deputy Minister has spoken there to the issue of the district model, the district program, where ministers and deputy ministers and officials will be going on the ground to ensure that those communities are not left behind. Areas such as community mobilization, awareness raising and so on remained constrained, particularly for sections of the population which lack access to digital technology data and so on, particularly in poor and underserviced and remote areas. This does have an impact on most of the core programs, for example, engagement with civil society and dissemination. For example, right now, the program two is, as well as the IMC, a critical area of focus is the dissemination of the National Strategic Plan, so that everybody knows what it is, so they have mass communication campaigns and so on. This requires innovative mechanisms, and the program will speak to this. So we have started doing a lot of work on how to reach the citizenry through radio, television, and so on. We know that the listenership and viewership of even SABC has gone up massively. So we need to be using those mass communication mechanisms to reach our constituencies. But also, obviously, it's been mobilization on areas such as Youth Day, Women's Day, Women's Month, and so on, traditional outreach, as well as interventions on women's economic empowerment have had to readjust. We'll give further details per program as we go on. Now, in terms of the revised impact on service delivery targets, we will provide, the slides do address this. In most programs, the targets have been adjusted in line with the budget and the COVID-19 imperatives. As I was saying, program one, I'm now on slide nine. Program one is retaining their budget given the pressures on the ICT system, particularly due to video conferencing, working from home and so on. Program two has adjusted the delivery methods to use alternative remote methods instead of physical meetings. Budgets have been retained in priority areas such as the establishment of the National Council on GBVF and the related NSP deliverables. In certain areas, the Program 2 has reduced budgets for external service providers. Program 3, the certain targets relating to the Knowledge Hub and evaluation have been adjusted to allow for significant budget reductions and the delivery of the targets over two-year periods rather than just in the current year because the budget has been removed. Targets such as community mobilization have been removed, and programs 4 and 5, which are around policy development work, stakeholder consultations and working groups, have shifted to virtual platforms. The revised budget impact on the recommendations made during the budget vote, as we've said, these have been noted and addressed in the context of the revised APP. And some of the principles here are zero-based budgeting, doing more with less, optimizing internal capacity and reducing the use of external consultants, but also where we do use external consultants, which is required in certain areas, we will be ensuring skills transfer. But the other important area is also improving delivery through partnerships. So noting that we have constrained resources, that we would be focusing on partnerships, including with other government departments, the private sector, development partners, civil societies, and NGOs, to harness the existing financial and human resources at our disposal for maximum impact and ensuring a wider reach. And we saw some of this, for example, when the Sanitary Dignity Program could no longer operate in provinces due to schools being shut down. We saw the program SEP was able to work with some development partners, UNFPA and others, to Sanitary Dignity products and distribute them through alternative means. I'm now going to just move into the reprioritization per program, starting with program one, administration, and moving on to slide 13. Program one has proposed the amendment of two targets. The one is the development of the human resource plan, and this is due to anticipated delays with the restructuring process. But also the tabling of the Women's Empowerment and Gender Equality Bill which had initially been planned for 2020-2021, the department was requested to sequence that into the next financial year due to the very high volume of legislation in the current year. In terms of the revised targets, Chair, I'm going to read just the annual targets. These remain unchanged because most of these are also the compliance related targets. Annual target related unqualified audit opinion, percentage of invoices, 100% of invoices paid within 30 days, unqualified audit opinion on annual financial statements. Then there's the targets on the vacancy rate, to maintain a vacancy rate of less than 10%, the development of the human resource plan, that one has been shifted, 100% of disciplinary cases resolved within 90 days, 4 quarterly progress reports on ICT systems, 4 progress reports on implementation of business systems, and then the wedgie bill. We'll see that the draft bill will be produced and would then be tabled in Parliament in 2021-22. Program two, the governance transformation justice and security budget for public hearings was reprioritized. SEP has also reprioritized budgets relating to research, evaluation, international engagements, and the Economic Empowerment and Participation Unit. They had 4 interventions planned to support economic empowerment and participation. Now, these remain, but will be adapted to utilize remote and virtual means so that the goods and services budget there will be reprioritized. In terms of targets, the first target on SEP is the percentage of indigent women and girls in quintiles 1, 2, and 3 schools and so on, and that there are various quarterly targets there. Under economic empowerment, there would still be 4 interventions to support economic empowerment, and those are listed there in quarter 1, quarter 2, quarter 3, and quarter 4. In terms of the governance transformation, justice and security directorate on slide 21, this is where we have many targets. The first one is the integration of the NSP priorities within the relevant national departments, the development of the M&E system for the NSP. That is very, very important. The comprehensive national GBF prevention strategy, the establishment of the GBV council as an important target, the establishment of provincial rapid response teams, also the development of biannual reports on the NSP implementation. We know also, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, that the Presidency has written to the Minister to indicate that he would want weekly reports on the implementation of the NSP, and that that process is already underway. In program three, then there's also the national gender machinery, the coordination framework would be approved, and then the need for biannual meetings. Program three, policy stakeholder coordination and knowledge management. Among the following amendments are proposed: removing the annual target for an integrated knowledge hub, which was dependent on expert consultants, and this budget has now been removed. Although work will continue using in-house capacity, removing the top